Why does my partner get so defensive when I talk? Have you ever been in conversation with your partner and suddenly, almost out of nowhere, they get super defensive? It can be so frustrating and really isolating. You feel like you're walking on eggshells, never knowing what might trigger defensiveness. And you might feel like you're being attacked because that wasn't your intention. So what's going on with them that they start to get defensive? What does that say about you? That can shut down productive communication and leave you both feeling stuck. It can be especially challenging when you're just trying to have a normal conversation, but your partner's defensiveness takes over. You might start to wonder, am I even the one to blame? Am I getting this wrong? Or are they being too sensitive? But the truth is, defensiveness is usually part of a deeper issue, and sometimes it can be how you start the conversation, and sometimes it can have nothing to do with you at all. When your partner becomes defensive, it can be so hard not to take it personally. And understanding what drives their behavior can help you navigate these situations. Welcome to This Complex Life. I am Marie Vakakis. I am a therapist, and each week we make a bit more sense of the messy, complicated, and every now and again gloriously beautiful business of being human. Mostly the relationships we're in and the mental health tangled up in them. I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. So what drives defensiveness in our partners? As a couples therapist, I see this a lot. I have been on the receiving end of this, and guaranteed I've probably caused some of this too. We are not immune to this. It happens across so many relationships. It happens to everybody. It's human. It's normal. It makes sense. None of us are immune. And so today I want to break down what can sit underneath this. What are some of the things that I see in the couples that I work with, and some of the ways that the conversations can go totally pear-shaped, and some of the ways that you can repair those and bring them back. I'm going to talk about what is underneath this. Contempt, criticism. I'm going to share a story about intention versus impact, and why some people are wired to hear an attack even when there isn't one, and what actually helps when you're on the receiving end of it all. Two of the things that I talk about a lot in couples therapy are the concepts from the Gottman approach. So we've got the four horsemen, but two of the ones that really stand out, contempt and criticism. And the Gottmans in their research predict that when they witness contempt in a relationship, it is one of the single biggest predictors of divorce or separation. So it is really powerful. It's a very powerful feeling, and it can really erode the relationship. And so when those are present in the relationship, defensiveness doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's usually a reaction to how something was delivered. There is a big difference between saying, feel ignored when you're on your phone and I'd love for us to spend some time together, versus you're always on your phone and you're ignoring me. That is going to come across as criticism, or you're so careless and inconsiderate. You ignore me all the time. That person's probably going to feel attacked, and they will respond with defensiveness and share all the times that they haven't done that, or that they have shown you that they love you, or point out all the times that you've done the same thing, because the way that that conversation started was with criticism. Or contempt. It might be that you are always doing something and it's so much better than the other person, and they're going to sense that. So when we have those as starting points to a conversation, it's not a surprise that we get defensiveness as a result. So criticism attacks the person, and things like, you never listen to me, you're always so forgetful, it's like I don't even matter to you, land so much more strongly and very differently to, I feel unheard right now. I feel disconnected from you. I feel lonely and I'd like to spend more time together. When we throw it as a personal flaw or a character flaw, as a you always or you never, that is going to land as criticism. And then it makes total sense that the other person will take that as attack on them and respond with defensiveness. And I see this play out all the time. I'll ask someone to show me how they've said it, and they'll say, I told them how I felt. And I'll say, what can you show that to me? And they'll say something like, you never clean the kitchen. And so the delivery of how we talk about our feelings, our emotions, what we need, hope, want, dream of, can land very critically if we use things like you never, you always. So when someone is in therapy with me and we're talking about this, they might have to repeat it several times until it comes across in a way that their partner can hear it without being defensive. So have a think about how you're phrasing things. And if you're starting the conversation with you never or you always, and picking out a character flaw, that's not helpful. Try starting it with how you feel. I felt or I feel unheard, I feel lonely, I feel disconnected, I feel unappreciated. When, name the situation, you're always on your phone, I walk into a really messy house and I need some quality time together, the house to be tidied up before I arrive, a plan for meal prepping for the week. Be very clear and specific. And they still might get defensive, and we'll talk about some other reasons why later on. But how you start the conversation, how you introduce it, we call it a gentle startup, can really change the direction of that. And then we have contempt, as I mentioned earlier, and that goes one step further. That's sarcasm, an eye roll, a tone that says, I'm better than you right now. And like I mentioned earlier, this is one of the biggest predictors of relationship breakdown, because it communicates not just disagreement, but disrespect. And this is maybe a little harder to articulate, but it's, you can say the same thing and your facial expressions and the tone can change it from contempt to not. So even something that's supposed to sound like empathy, like, oh, that sounds really hard for you, to that sounds really hard for you with an eye roll, can be contemptuous. And so we're really keeping an eye on that. If there's contempt in the relationship, if there is that disrespect, without support or intervention or something changing, it's not going down a great path. And sometimes this can explain why two people can have no idea what they're even fighting about. One is just saying, thinks they're just talking about information, and one heard an attack. And sometimes it can be an interpretation versus the intention, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But sometimes it's how the conversation started, how the words that were chosen. And it's really tricky, right? Because none of us will role model this. Most of us don't have the experience of being spoken to like this. Maybe we didn't see our parents communicate like this. Even in romantic, you know, rom-coms and sitcoms, you know, the conversations between people were sometimes really friggin' terrible. We didn't see healthy relationships and healthy communication modeled to us. And so this can feel really foreign. Even trying to accept that we might need to do something different can activate a response of defensiveness in people, because they feel like they're under attack, that their way of doing things is wrong, that their very sense of self is being questioned. So even this episode might get someone a little bit defensive because we're asking them to do something. So I want to share an example of intention, impact, and interpretation. And I talk about this with some of my clients around, you know, picture you're doing your groceries, you've got a supermarket trolley and you're putting things in, you're going through your list of groceries and you run over your partner's toe. It was an accident. It's like, oh, sorry, and move on. We can choose how we respond in this moment. If you're the one whose toe gets run over, if you interpret it as an accident, you might be like, oh, babe, that really hurt. Might be laugh it off and move on. If you believe it was deliberate, you're furious. You might say something nasty and you might get into a fight in the supermarket. So there's the interpretation of that. But the impact is that it still hurt. It still hurt you. And so the partner pushing the trolley, it's not enough for them to say, well, I didn't mean it. What are you getting upset about? It's regardless of your intention. You might have been trying to swerve from a kid who was having a meltdown. You might have seen something on the other side of the aisle that's on your grocery list and made a kind of direct line for that and not seen your partner's foot there. It doesn't matter what your intention is or was, it hurt them. And so that requires a level of compassion and care. If you run straight to defensiveness, well, I didn't mean it, it's not my fault, or why are you wearing thongs to the supermarket? You should have chosen better footwear. You've missed it. And so this is where we can look at interpretation. No, we can look at impact and intention. Interpretation is an extra layer here, that if you're the partner whose toe gets run over and you have a feeling that life is just super unfair, you might see this simple toe being run over as, oh my gosh, only bad things ever happen to me. Why can't we even go to the supermarket without something awful happening? And the world is just out to get me. And here we go again. I'm going to have a broken toe. I'm going to need to be in a moon boot and I'm probably going to have to take time off work. And everyone's going to think I'm terrible. And like, you might catastrophize it. You might have a worldview or a schema that bad things only happen to you. So you might interpret that action in something really big. And so might the other person. They might think, oh my goodness, I've done something wrong. I've messed up again. I can't get anything right. What's wrong with me? I can't even do grocery shopping without causing pain. And here we are and we're fighting and they're going to leave me and I'm an awful person. And so we have the intention, which was just pushing the trolley. The impact is it ran over someone's toe. And then we have the interpretation of all of these beliefs behind us. And so I like to get people to think about that, is how they would respond in that situation is really telling. And sometimes it might be the same as how they respond at home. And sometimes they might see that as very concretely different. And it gives us something to nut out. And if you're struggling to think about it with your partner, then you might think about it, well, what would it be like if you were a stranger? If it was a stranger, if you're pushing the supermarket trolley and you run over his toe, how might you respond? And so it gives you some clues as to what you're predisposed to or what your style is like. And sometimes that can be a little confronting because it gets us to think about the role we play in these interactions. The belief about intent is usually one of the first three things going on underneath every hard conversation. And so let's break those apart a little bit more. Intention, fighting about intention is so common in my therapy room. I see couples and they fight tooth and nail. It's like, but I don't see why you should be upset. That wasn't my intention. And they're so focused on trying to get their partner to understand that their intention was not to hurt them, that they didn't intend to. And sometimes we have to call bullshit because there are some things that you might not have intended to hurt your partner by having an affair or by gambling away your savings or by doing something pretty hurtful. We're not even going there. I'm talking about the day-to-day interactions where you might not have intended to hurt their feelings and their feelings were hurt. So think of that shopping trolley. You might not have intended to run over their toe or to hurt them, but you did. Doesn't matter that you were busy. It doesn't matter that the supermarket trolley maybe had a wobbly wheel. The intention in that moment it's not that it's not important. It does matter because obviously if you're going around supermarkets trying to run over your partner's toes, you've got other problems. But we need to focus on what's happening for the person who is on the receiving end. And so people fight over and over again about this idea of, but that's not my intention. And then they might even get upset and start to get defensive that their partner interpreted it that way. And then the cycle goes round and round and round. And that's you. I get it. I've been there. I've definitely had those conversations as well. You can download my conflict workbook. It'll give you some tips on how to navigate those difficult conversations. There'll be a link to that in the notes. So the impact is real even when the intention was good. I can't stress that enough. You can hurt someone without meaning to and it still counts. They're still hurting. And both those things can sit side by side. And the part that I see couples fight over is where one person says, I didn't mean it that way. And the other says, but that's how I felt. And both of them are right. So between those two things, there's a conversation that's required of, I'm sorry I hurt your toe, that must have felt awful. And then the other person might soften and be like, that's okay, it really does hurt. I know you didn't mean it. But what I often see is, why'd you run over my toe? It's like, well, I didn't mean it. It's like, well, now you say my toe's not hurting. It's like, why do you have to make everything about you? I'm in a rush and I always have to do the groceries. And then it turns into a fight because each person felt criticized or attacked and they get defensive, and before you know it, you've had a big fight, probably left the supermarket, and the toe is still hurting and each person's feeling disconnected and it's just not going anywhere. And now interpretation is something that doesn't come up a lot in the literature, but I think it's when we look at our schemas, our core beliefs, or our personal experiences about something. And this is where a lot of the damage really happens, this is where you react to the story you've told yourself, not to what was said or done. So this goes beyond this thing hurt me. So your partner might ask, what's this? And they might be responding curiously. They haven't said it in a critical way, but you might interpret that as, see, they think I'm messy and thoughtless and I can never do anything right. And they're always criticizing me no matter what I do. And then you might respond defensively. So you might interpret neutral comments as hostile or critical or judgmental in some way, even if they're completely neutral. Where I want to maybe have a little, I guess, an asterisk to this is when couples are in a negative sentiment override. And I don't know if I've done an episode on this. Maybe I'll put it on the list to do. But it's essentially the vibe of the relationship has switched into sort of a negative culture. And when you're in that, you do interpret maybe neutral things with a bit more negativity. You do miss the good things that are happening and you don't see maybe even half of what the other person does well, and it's really easy to focus on the bad. So this interpretation could be a more deeper personal experience. It could be related to your own beliefs. It could be related to trauma, and I'll talk about that in a moment. but it could also be an indication of the general health of the relationship, that things are feeling maybe disconnected. You might have a culture, or you might feel unappreciated, lonely, isolated. There could be a lot of stress. And so we really want to, and when couples come to me in this way, it can take a lot of work, and it's something that requires some patience and a lot of practice to, I guess, turn that ship around and improve the quality of the relationship. So the light bulb moment here, if there is a takeaway, is that interpretation, while it can feel so true, it's often our own stories. It's often our own thing of, if we don't feel cared for, we will find evidence for that. If we don't feel appreciated, we will also find evidence for that. If we don't feel loved, we will find evidence for that. If we feel inadequate or too much or insignificant, we will find evidence for that. And so we can be looking for those things in places where they're not there. And so where this interpretation comes from, like I said, it can come from our relationship quality. So if it's in a positive sentiment override or a negative sentiment override, so that's kind of the health of the relationship. And in a lot of people that I see in my therapy room, it can come from childhood experiences. Negative experience can come from negative childhood experiences, past relationships, and things like trauma. And we want to be careful about those things. And some people require therapy or support of some kind to navigate that on their own. And some healing comes from the way that they change the conversation with their partner. And each person will have their own path of what's right for them. So for some people, past trauma and negative experiences can lead to a default defensive response. And this can be due to fear of judgment, feeling attacked, or misinterpreting intentions. So for example, if your partner has been hurt in a past relationship, if their last relationship ended because some person had an infidelity or was aggressive or violent, they might be more likely to become defensive if they feel attacked or criticized or don't get the response that they need for reassurance. Similarly, if they're feeling stressed or overwhelmed or flooded, they might be prone to defensiveness. Other time, defensiveness stems from feeling misunderstood and not being heard or validated. If they feel like they're not being listened to, they might become defensive as a way to protect themselves. And this, I see this, if I had a dollar for every time I was telling someone to prioritize empathy and validation. And even if that wasn't your intention, to be able to recognize that it hurt your partner and their feelings are valid is such a huge relationship skill. For parents, for couples, I say this in so many contexts around to validate, and then we can move into solutions or problem solving. But if someone doesn't feel validated and doesn't feel heard, that can lead to defensiveness, or it can lead to shutdown, but that's for another episode, another time. So understanding where the defensiveness comes from can be a real lifesaver in a relationship. If you recognize that it's got to do with your partner's history and they are sensitive to that, that can help reduce some of the tension that you might feel that it's always my fault. And it can help you come up with different ways to start tricky conversations. Or if they're getting defensive and you can regulate yourself enough, you can see that as a little sign that maybe they're not okay. That behind that defensiveness, they might be feeling frightened or alone or scared or anxious or stressed or overwhelmed. Yes, it's not ideal that someone comes back at a comment that you make with defensiveness, but understanding and empathizing with both sides can be really great for the relationship. So if you see your partner getting defensive and you have the capacity to pause it and slow it down and think, babe, are you okay? You seem really stressed right now. That can be really helpful. And for the other person, I encourage them to recognize, I'm finding that what you said is a little, it didn't land quite well. Could you say that in a different way? And maybe even with a bit more, I guess, information. So when I work with couples where there's different neuro types, sometimes we need to spell out what we mean to the other person. So it could be, I need you to say that again with a little more enthusiasm. And so they can really showcase they care for you in a way that lands better for you. Because in my experience, most of the time, it's not the people's intention to hurt their partner. They don't mean to do it. And yet they do, and it happens. And so if we can pause things, slow them down, and really try and understand what's happening for each person, it can be amazing. So I've given you a few tips, but what do we do? We see defensiveness coming. We might even be listening to this and recognizing it in our own relationships. I know there are some things that I think, yep, that's me, tick, tick. I have done that. I have been on the receiving end of that. I can totally relate. I am not immune from this either. So what do we do differently in the moment? If you have resonated with some of this, then I would say use this as a starting point. Don't passively aggressively just forward this to your partner, but talk about it. Just say, I heard an episode of something that I guess showed me some things that I didn't realize I was doing poorly, or I could have done better, or there were some things in it that I resonated with. Can I share it with you? And then we can talk about it. Or even just say, I'd like to talk about it. Is now a good time? Or pick when would be a good time, saying, I'd really like to talk about it. Can we talk about it when we walk the dog on Saturday? And so you can talk about talking about it. I know that sounds like a bit of a mouthful, but we don't want to launch into these conversations when the other person's not expecting it and you've got all of this extra context and maybe you've had a chance to think about it, and it can feel like being blindsided by that. So that can be a really great introduction. If you're recognizing this in yourself, then I would encourage you to start thinking about how you phrase things. So if you feel like maybe what you've said does come across as criticism, start with the sentence starter, the I feel when and I would like. I feel really disconnected when you're on your phone and we're trying to have a conversation over dinner. I would like to spend some quality time together, device free, discussing our day and debriefing. That is going to land so much better than you never make time for me and you're always on your bloody phone. And you don't have to do it all the time. You don't have to get it perfect. But these small things can make big differences in the relationship. Lead with curiosity instead of accusation. So something like, help me understand what happened then, is a very different question to, why would you do that? Or, I'm very curious what informed your decision on this, rather than, why did you do that? And even the tone matters, right? Because you could take some of these sentence starters that sound really textbook perfect and your tone can be condescending or contemptuous. Think about leading with curiosity and watch your tone. The other point I want to make here is around catching your own interpretation. So if you're jumping to these conclusions often in maybe multiple contexts, maybe that's a bit of a clue around where you have some old wounds that maybe need some looking at and some exploring. Do you often feel that way? What's sitting just below the surface? Is it a conversation you can have with your partner? Are you feeling a general sense of inadequacy at work? And so when you come home and they say something like, oh, the house is a mess, you're like, great, here's another time, another situation I'm failing in. Maybe it's got nothing to do with their tone. Maybe their request is totally reasonable, but your interpretation of that is based on how you're feeling in other areas of your life. So that sounds really deep and really hard, and maybe that's too much for some people. That's okay. It gives you a chance to think about it and decide what you want to do next. And the last point I want to have you thinking about is, if you're the one who's getting defensive and your partner's not sure how to do it different, you can try asking for that to be rephrased. So this might look like, I know you probably didn't mean it to sound hurtful, but that's how it came across. Could you try saying it again? Or one of my favorites is, the story my brain made up is that you think I'm inadequate. Could you try saying that a different way? And so this gives you a bit of a way to manage that defensiveness and gives your partner a chance to share with you how they are feeling and what they're trying to say in a way that doesn't feel like you're being criticized or attacked. And I get that. One of my biggest triggers is when someone asks questions before providing context. So if I've worked really hard on something and someone says, why did you do that? They might mean, why did you do that? Or they might mean, why did you do that? To me, it always sounds like the, why did you do that? And so if they don't tell me, that looks really amazing, why did you choose that? Or, that cake is really delicious, what's in it? If they just lead with, what's in that? Or, why did you make that? I hear that as criticism, or that I have done something wrong. And I can get really fired up about this. So recognizing that is an ongoing struggle, but it's also something I get to communicate. And I have to try and be mindful of, firstly, whose opinions do I care about? Secondly, maybe I need to teach them how to share with me if something's great and they're curious. And other times, well, sometimes it doesn't work and I get defensive and it causes a fight. We all have things that activate us. Some people have triggers that are based in trauma history. Some people just have sensitivities. And sometimes we're stressed, tired, busy, hungry, overwhelmed, all of these things because we're human and being human's hard and it's messy and it's complicated. And so there's no perfect rule book for this. There are just some things we know really unhelpful in conflict and in communication and some things that can really help us feel loved, supported and connected. So dear listener, dear writer, however this question came across my desk, partners get defensive due to a mixture of things. Fears, past experiences, miscommunications, and understanding that is the first step towards better communication. It's about being patient, empathetic, and aware of some of the underlying issues that might lead to defensiveness. If you've experienced this in your own relationship, I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear about it in the comments. And if you found this video helpful, please give it a like and consider subscribing for more relationship advice. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the full show notes for this episode at marievakarkas.com.au. And if you're interested in reading about relationships and mental health, you can also find my regular articles in the West Sider paper, both in hard copy and online. And if you have a question about mental health and relationships that you would like me to answer on a future Ask Marie episode, send it to askmarie@marievakarkas.com. Thanks to West Sider Radio for having me, and I will see you next time.